Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today we're going to be talking about an industry all of us have an interest in one way or another. But if you are wanting to become a professional in it, you had better know the ropes, as the saying goes. We are going to be talking about the entertainment industry, especially the musical side of it. And my guest today is Lauren Weissman. He has put together an awesome book called The Artist's Guide to Success in the Music Business. Now, this is his first volume, and apparently he's got another one in the works that's going to be coming out. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Donna. It's great to be here.
Well, you are right in my neighborhood. You're in the Seattle area. And I found your book really so informative and so down-to-earth and basic. What I also found amazing with your publication is the detail that you put into it. So many times people in the entertainment industry, they say, oh, we'll go out and do this, go out and do that. And the bare bones of what has to be paid attention to in any endeavor, so often people have to go through the hard knocks on the road, and it's not fun. So you really put a lot of yourself into this. Give us, you are the founder of Brain Grenade Entertainment, and you've been involved in producing music. You are a consultant. You've done all kinds of albums. You're a drummer. I mean, you really have walked the walk. But how many years have you been involved in the industry itself?
I've been involved in the industry since about 1992. I started as a drummer that I did gigs and touring and eventually moved over to doing more recording session work. A lot of the information from the book, though, comes from the ghost drumming side of things. And that was where I would go into certain studios, sign a confidentiality agreement, and clean up the drum parts for a band that had a drummer and they had an image. And what was interesting about that was you could overhear and learn a lot of the business elements inside of the creative. And I think I'm much more, or at least back then I was, a big listener of just trying to understand exactly how the business worked as a whole, from the creative to the business and the spectrum in between.
Right at the very beginning of your book, you make a comment. It's going to be a harder road than you thought. Shortcutting, half-assing, and second-guessing will only hurt your career in the end. Step out, step up, and step forward. If you can't take those three steps, you don't belong in today's music business. What do you see as the biggest differences today in the industry compared to, let's say, 10, 15 years ago? My goodness, if we wanted to, we could go back to, you know, the 20s and 30s, or even further than that if we wanted to. But let's just go back maybe 10 or 15 years. What do you see as the new set of challenges, and what are the differences that you've evolved through yourself?
What I've seen happen, and I think everybody has seen this in every field, the saturation of artists out there. Before social media, Facebook, MySpace, internet radio, satellite TV, there was a limited area that you could get exposed to. So it was easier to make a lot more money and be seen by a lot more people. But once there were 2,000 television channels and millions of radio stations and ways for artists to independently promote themselves, sometimes on the level of the larger scale ones, it's become an oversaturated front, and it's harder to find your way into the business. One of the things I tell people now is that, 10 years ago, it was important to have that great sound and people could find you for your music. But the bulk now in surviving and sustaining and being successful They have to see you, some kind of image, read about you. There has to be the marketing and the promotion and even the branding for them to get through that to decide to listen to you.
Branding and marketing, that has always been important. I cannot recall any time when it hasn't been important. And there are so many people that say, oh, you've got to be kidding. I mean, I'm just producing this. The sound should stand on its own. But that's not the case. Oh, my goodness. I hear a lot of sound that I think should really be put in the universal garbage disposal. But regardless, you know, they may become the hit of the week, whatever. You just don't know. And you've got so many genres of expression, just exactly what you've mentioned. Let's go through a few of the things that you talk about in your book. Let's talk about the industry. I encountered someone not too long ago that sent me some material, and by the time they got through talking, and by the time they kept saying, you can't do this, you can't do that, whether you can't do the other, I said, okay, you are in a tough spot because I'm just not going to be able to follow all these directives. Copyrights, things like this. What do people have to be aware of today? What about this intellectual property? Because most people, when they're starting out, they don't have any money for an attorney. What do they do?
It's educating yourself, regardless of what you want to do, whether it be music, whether it be art, whether it be becoming a doctor or a surgeon, or a lawyer for that matter. There's always things changing. And the musician and the artist of today needs to be aware of those changes. Now, while you might not be able to afford an attorney, you can learn about copyright right at copyright.gov. You can learn about how to protect yourself. It's oftentimes, I call it, it's planning for the best case scenario and the divorce at the same time. If you're with a band, figure out research, it's online, of ways to protect yourself legally at a very minimal cost. Every band can start a publishing company for less than $125.
Mm-hmm.
And as opposed to throwing their music out everywhere where someone can automatically steal it and say, okay, this isn't copyrighted, this isn't published, you know, I can grab this. The old send it to yourself in the mail has kind of died off with the times. Right now, the artist, just as they want to better their craft, or the writer that wants to become a better author, it's practice, it's research, it's learning about what's happening today, what happened yesterday, the year before, and where the direction is going. I tell many artists the same thing. Part of your art has to be your education. And I'm learning about the music industry every single day. I came into it in 1992, so I have a different viewpoint than someone that came into it in 2002 or someone that came into it in 1952. But if we all learn, everybody together, the communication, the education, you can figure out how to sustain and survive.
When you're in the entertainment industry, goodness, all you have to do is watch the stuff about the Oscars or the Emmys or all of these other things. We've got so many words out there now. My husband said the other night, he said, what's that one for? I have no idea. You have all of these people going gaga and they're in front of the television. Oh, this is wonderful and all this stuff. And you go, what meaning does that have? You know, we have so many things, like you've said. It's almost like oversaturation. And when you are wanting, if you really have a passion for music, if you really want to get into it, there is this illusion that has been promoted about the fairy tale happening. I can remember hearing stories about Lana Turner being discovered on a stool in Hollywood, and I think that stool was occupied by 5,500,000, you know, other women that decided they were going to copy her, and that didn't work. I think that was a fraudulent story anyway, but that's beside the point. There is this myth, this illusion, that you're just going to be discovered. It
Absolutely.
Doesn't work that way, does it?
Absolutely. The I call it the delusion of grandeur, and to me, the type of people that sit back and wait for things to come to them, it's very rare that they're going to come, because they're not, and they're staying in the same place and not moving forward. It's so important to reach out. These stories from, you know, back in Lana Turner's days to even American Idol and everywhere in between. Mm-hmm. There's this shortcutting way of people thinking this is going to be brought to me and everything's going to be taken care of. Now, to a certain extent, there was a time when you could get signed and great deals of money would come in, and you didn't realize that because you were discovered, you were making the least amount of it. But when it was hundreds of millions of dollars, no one worried about it. Now, with the music industry in a much tighter, you know, wearing a much tighter belt and a smaller pant size when it comes to the financial side, when an artist receives their cut and they're wondering why they can't quit their day job, it's because too many people were involved, invested, and need to get that money back. Any time that there's an easy road in the music industry, it means massive percentages are not going to go to you. It means someone has to get paid back. Someone's taking a chance on you. They're investing in you, and they want the return. Mm-hmm. I tell people to steer away from the shortcut. Research the stories. You know, most of the time, and I, you know, we can talk about certain Seattle bands where they claim they came out of the ashes and it was completely independent, and yet at the same time there was a $200,000 marketing budget to make them seem like they were coming from nowhere. Now, mm-hmm. honestly, when I was in my early 20s, I didn't have $200,000 to throw around.
No kidding. I don't know many people that in their 50s, 60s, or
exactly.
70s that have $200,000 to throw around, much less a teenager. And you bring forth a very, very good point. I know of some very, very famous authors that back in the 90s, they were dead broke. They were absolutely in the toilet. And they went and made a tremendous sacrifice for PR. And for them at that time, it was $100,000 that they put together. And they got a hold of someone that was really savvy, and that person really knew how to get into the inside track. And they said, well, and then there we were. Well, they now talk to audiences talking about, gee whiz, this is what we did. But people don't really hear, because they could have flopped. They could have not been able to make it, that they linked up with someone that was really good at getting them into the shows and into the exposure. But the truth was, they were on planes for days at a time. They would fly at night, be on the shows during the day. This is something a lot of people don't understand, that there's no just click, you're on Oprah, and ta-da, it's all there. It doesn't work that way.
Not at all. And it's funny, I love the point that you're bringing up, that these bands, and there's a lot of conferences and festivals that I speak at with other musicians, and I've been on panels with musicians that I flat turned right to them and said, look, you don't know things that were going on behind the scenes. I mean, that was great. You didn't have to know. But when you're telling them what they need to do and you have a linear understanding of what success is, and also lacking of an understanding of realizing you were being taken advantage of, and then you tell somebody else to do that, it hurts them so much. People, again, it comes back to the education. It's what does it take? And at the same time, the reality of today, to make your goal to be a millionaire, okay, so that's a nice thing, but it's selfish. I mean, to be able to make your goal and say, you know what, I'd like to have a sustainable living in the arts and do what I love and be able to be paid for it. That's more realistic. When someone's trying to say, oh, I want to have a boat and I want to have this kind of alcohol, it goes too far and it takes away from the art and the beauty of it. When someone says, I just want to live a life, have a mortgage, have a family, you know, be able to be comfortable, those are the people that can move forward, because they're the ones that are out there saying, I want to educate, I want to learn how to do this, I want to see how I can make a realistic, sustainable, you know, yearly income. And mm-hmm. and it takes that person that they might not know anything about business, and they might be all about the art, but those that want to learn their craft of business, just like they learn the craft of art, will make those steps forward.
Why is it that when you have art programs, whether it's music or anything else, and I'm addressing this on the upper level of education, there is not that is given along with the artistic training? There are so many people whose paths I have crossed, and I can raise my hand to this experience, true. You're naive. You really believe that what you have as talent is going to stand above and beyond. And the reality is, you could have the best talent in the world, but if you don't have any savvy, any street smarts, you're garbage, because it's not necessarily talent that is going to get you. That sounds rather harsh, but you may be the best soprano in the world, and that's not going to get you to where you need to go. There's other components of dedication, discipline, being willing to be on the bus. I'll digress for just a minute. I talked to a young woman who had one of the most exquisite voices I'd ever heard. She was asked to audition for the Metropolitan. She was able to do that. She had wanted a career in music. She goes. She's accepted by the Metropolitan Opera. Very few people are accepted. She's accepted. They then tell her what she's going to have to do. It means she has to go to Europe. She has to be trained. She has to go through XYZ periods before she's ever going to have a chance to be on stage. She might be part of the choir in the background, but she doesn't have a chance to be a star up in front until she learns the disciplines and develops herself physically. She said, nope, don't want to go overseas, don't want to do this. She walked away from that career, but instead she found she had a love for the harp, and she ended up going into that, and she has what you described a moment ago, a sustainable career. There are responsibilities, there are commitments, and it's a reality. Why is it so tough for the schools to teach this?
It's interesting because, or for a better word, as you said, tough, because the people that are teaching it oftentimes are coming from a template of what they learned or how they understood it. There are some music business courses that are beginning to grow in strength of what is being taught, but a lot of them, and what I've seen in traveling, is a lot of them are teaching the methods of the old. They're not mm-hmm. really applying the aspects of current social media, what it takes now. There's these numerous courses. Here's how you find a manager. Well, I tell people, you need to have all your materials together the right way before you come to a manager. It's people, again, it comes back to the shortcutting, too. They're trying to find, oh, here's how you get a label deal. Well, label deals are happening less and less. Here's how you get management. Management companies are popping up everywhere. There's a 19-year-old kid in Seattle that talks about being a super manager, and he can book you everywhere. He lives in his mom's basement. He hasn't done anything. But he's taken advantage of the web, the social media, and he looks like he's somebody. So it comes down to, who are you learning from? What's being taught, and how does that apply? Looking at a curriculum, even when it comes down to looking toward a consultant. When people come to hire me, a lot of times I come back and just say, okay, well, you can look at my book, you can look at my website, you can look me up and get a sense. I've been on all sides of it. I've been in front of 80,000 people, and I've played in front of the bartender that said, look, go home, I'm the only one here. Mm-hmm. And it's when you have that understanding at a wider spectrum, and at the same time an awareness that everything is constantly changing, then you can set together a program to teach these kids and even older musicians, here's what's happening right now. But these template methods of what worked in the 80s, the 90s, they can't be applied. And yet kids today will say, oh, yeah, well, we'd never make a tape. Okay, yeah, that is something that was happening in the 80s, yet you're following a number of other 80s mold formats. You've got to step up.
mm-hmm. Really interesting stuff. Also, you make the comment, you're going to have to deal with politics in the industry and other outside issues that's going to make you step away sometimes for whatever reasons. It could be health concerns, what have you. You need to be aware that you have to be personally responsible. It's like any business. It is a business if that's what you're going to want to do. And you said it's hard as hell. If it were easy, everyone would do it. And not everyone does it. You talk about a young man, Jason Mraz, and you said that this guy is so committed that he spends three-quarters of his day on phone interviews, magazine interviews, radio, television, promos, any kind of marketing event that he can play for, whatever is allowed, an hour or two a day, whatever it takes, he's there. He is there.
Definitely. And he is a major label artist. Some people brought that up when I mentioned him in the book. But what I love about Jason, he has a DVD out. It's a live show, but different parts of the DVD, it follows him around during the day and waking him up in the hotel room, and it doesn't set up any of the glamorous rock star elements. It's You've got your morning radio, you've got your later morning television, you've got your newspaper interviews, you're going to be on the cell phone on the tour bus, you're going to be answering the exact same questions, but it's such a great example. And this is an older video. I think it came out in 2003 or 2004. I'm not remembering, but it's such a great video to show people. Oh yeah, you think all of a sudden you're going to have a hit, and then from that point you just sit back and be the musician and have the rest of the day off. As you're starting to climb the charts or get notoriety, it's more and more interviews. It's more time on the road, like you said. Mm-hmm. It's the earlier mornings. Oh, the partying late at night. No, you've got to be up in the morning for that interview. You've got to be ready to play with your band. You've got to get to the next city. That's a commitment that it's taken away. People think, as soon as this happens, I'm just going to be on MTV, sitting back and partying every night. Not so.
Yeah. They forget that when you're traveling on the bus, if it doesn't have a bathroom, you better have your travel kit with you, brush your teeth in the gas station's bathroom, comb your hair, give yourself maybe a wash down. Boy, doesn't that sound romantic?
Oh,
and make
yeah.
sure you have some deodorant so at least you smell pretty good. I mean, these are things. This is something that a lot of people, when they look at the stars, and I mean, I've met people of all ages, and they'll go, oh, it's so glamorous, they have it so easy, they just don't know how lucky they are. And I go, wait a minute, have you even walked their walk? Do you know what it's like working backstage, or maybe you've got rats running across your shoes because the building is so decrepit, and maybe you've got, you know, facilities that haven't been cleaned because the management of the stage or the theater doesn't give a hoot one way or the other. I mean, there's all of these things that are so unglamorous, and people just don't get it. Now, it's wonderful when you have success, but I think today, something that I've seen, and I'm sure you will be able to expand on it, a lot of people are developing studios because we have equipment now that is so sophisticated, and it is so small compared to what used to be in stations. You have your big recording studios, but a lot of people have found that they can have their own recording studios where they are, and they can set things up. So we have got a portability on one level and a capacity of adaptability that I'm just in awe of. I'm not a technician, but boy, what I've seen just boggles my mind.
It's interesting. I go on both sides of the argument with the home studios. I think that the home studios can be amazing, but as you're putting together your product to take it to the most professional level, it needs to have that professional sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've even told certain bands, if you have an understanding in engineering, if you have a friend that can come over and help you, that's great. But you can mix it up. I tell certain people, in saving their budgets, go to a professional studio for a day and record the drums. You're going to get tens of thousands of dollars of beautiful microphones recorded in a great room. Now, if you only have one nice mic or only a couple small things, that's stuff that you can do at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a wide argument, and there are a lot of good points to it. But just because you have the ability to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be at that professional level. It's the same thing when it comes to the business, the graphic design. A lot of people call themselves photographers. A lot of people call themselves graphic designers. But in today's oversaturation, the music and the quality of it, the final mix, the mastering of the recording, it has to be at that level to stand out. You know, to have this just rough sound right now, where there's so much sound out there, it's not going to help you. It really is stepping out and standing above with the best product that you can possibly make, which also might mean, okay, do you want to rush out something that's not quite there, or do you want to take maybe a couple more months, let everybody from their day jobs be able to save up and put out something that's really there? It brings up the other point of people are just they're in such a hurry and they cut so many corners and they fail that much faster.
You have an FSRP system. You call it the Freedom Solutions Recording Plan. Tell us about that.
That came from a lot of years of doing production budgets for larger scale albums. And what I do with that, I act as a pre-producer and an accountant for bands that come to consult with me. And we create a realistic business plan of every single cost that it would take to create an industry level recording, but you know, at a grassroots price. It's mm-hmm. and everything breaks down. I mean, well, one example, and it applies to every aspect inside the FSRP, is food. A lot of people say, okay, well, we're just, you know, we'll go out to Subway today, and tonight we'll go out here, and then we'll grab coffee. And I used to tell the coffee scenario joke. There's a studio in Hollywood, I'm not going to name it, but they have $1.6 million worth of equipment. They don't have a coffee maker. They send interns out to get coffee, sometimes 3-4 times a day. And I did the numbers with a band. I said, okay, imagine 10 people in a studio, 3 times a day going out to get, you know, call a $3 cup of coffee. I think that's even a little too tame.
And yeah, that's inexpensive today.
And at the end of the day, you've spent $90. And mm-hmm. then at the end of 10 days, you spent $900. Now on the major label, on your budget, there's going to be interest. There's going to be a lot of time before you start seeing income. It's going to grow to that $900 almost doubling. And now a year and a half down the line, when you break it out, you owe $1,800 because of the coffee that you had during those sessions. In the mm-hmm. FSRP, it says, let's go out and grab a 2.5 pound bag of beans, some cream, some sugar, some tea. You're going to spend, what, $30, and boom, you're done. Mm-hmm. And that's the way to continue to get the elements that you need, everything from food to the time in the studio to the promotion to the website, pre-production, post-production, all of it, but doing it in a smart, responsible way. And from there, when you have that budget and you're either fundraising for your recording or you're looking for investors, when you have everything laid out and you can answer every question, you're not going to leave them with doubts.
Your book is absolutely awesome. And I know that we don't have a whole bunch of time left here to share, but I also like what you talk about, gigs, how to confirm the date with a gig once you've got it. Tipping the sound man. Who would have thought of doing that? I mean, again, these are things, education is so important. It's like teaching someone etiquette, and this is professional etiquette. You want to be early. You don't want to be a diva, a male diva or a female diva. Doesn't make any difference because they are not appreciated. When you're dealing with professionals, they don't want diva personalities. They don't work. You're going to work against yourself. This isn't the 1940s where that was, oh, isn't that wonderful? Every once in a while you can encounter somebody, but you'll find most of the time they're ignored. Am I right?
Definitely.
Who has time for this? We don't have time for this. We don't have time to fiddle around with someone that just thinks that they're the gift of the universe, and gee whiz, the rest of you peons, you just have to bow down. I'm sorry. That's in the old movies. Go back to the 1800s. That might have worked. Not today. It is not going to work today because, like you said, there is so much competition out there, and there's so much to be alert to. Now, Lauren, you've got a website. What is it where people can go to? And for those of you listening, if you know of any young person that is in the industry or interested in going into the industry, and they watch all of these Hollywood scenarios or whatever, like, oh, someone made it, you know, overnight. Listen, it doesn't work that way. Real life is going to come in and hit you hard. I've known people that have had tremendous blessings, and they were wiped out within 24 hours. It just, and they could never get back up again because they didn't know how to be resilient. His book, The Artist's Guide to Success in the Music Business, is a superb read, and it applies good business sense, so any business person could even benefit from reading this and becoming aware of the industry. What's your website, Lauren?
My website for the book is www.artistsguide.net. And that's A-R-T-I-S-T-S-G-U-I-D-E.net. And my personal website is laurenwiseman.com. And the book is available on Amazon. It's available in ebook format on iTunes. It's on barnesandnoble.com as well, and it's on my site. And you know, if you're, I invite people to pick up the book. I invite people to check out the website. But more so, to all the musicians out there, or the friends, family, parents of, just get educated, whether it's my book or my websites or some other ones, or checking in on what's really happening in the music industry. It's that old thing of pick up the newspaper, find out what's going on, and assist and supplement your dreams with the education that will get you there that much faster.
Not only that, but being aware, you want to have somebody that's going to be a good mentor to you. Going it alone, it's not the way to do it. Being a loner is fine. And I have a great deal of respect for that, because I have much of that personality type. But I'll tell you, you will save yourself so much agony if you have a good mentor. Lauren Weissman is one, and I think that his material shows his credibility, his background, his experience. The book, again, is The Artist's Guide to Success in the Music Business. Go to his website, artistsguide.net. or laurenweisman.com, and that's LaurenWeisman. Lauren, it has been a delight having you as a guest. I wish you continued success. Keep up the great work, because, boy, there's a lot of people out there that sure can use your expertise.
Thank you so much for having me on, Donna. This was a lot of fun talking to you. I really enjoyed it.
Great. This is Donna Siebel, Lauren Weisman, The Artist's Guide to Success in the Music Business. Get it. It's a good read. Donna Siebel here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756 is the toll-free number to call into, 888-815-9756. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. And just know, if you want to call in, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I always like to know where you're calling in from. And just know that after that, then I'll give you the information that I'm perceiving about you. And then when I'm finished, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is of interest and or concern to you. This is what is coming up for the rest of the week. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about knitting. Now, does that sound a little strange? Well, believe it or not, Liat Gat is a woman that is a knitting superstar, and she's going to be sharing some wonderful stories about, one, how you can make this something that you can really enjoy as a hobby, but she does it as a profession. So it's fascinating. Then we're going to be talking about a malady that affects humanity all over the planet. It's considered one of the major, major medical issues that physicians find that they're inevitably going to talk about with a patient at one time or another. What is that? Constipation. Yes. Cure Constipation Now, Dr. Wes Jones is going to be my guest. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Howard Wiemer, his book, Inner Guidance and the Four Spiritual Gifts. This book is very well done in the way that it addresses the intuitive gifts that we have. For those of you that want to know about guests that are coming up, be sure to go in to bbsradio.com, Station 1, The Donna Sebo Show, and you can tap on a little button that says Show Information, and that'll tell you all about the guests upcoming, and we've got all of the listings for this month, so check it out. Let's go to this caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from, please?
Hi, this is Kevin, and I'm calling from Las Vegas,
Nevada. Las Vegas. Okay, a fun city. Talk about musicians. My goodness. That is one city that's got gobs of them. Oh, my word. And they all have stories to tell. Okay, Kevin, the first thing that I am looking at when I'm focusing on you is you've got one, two, three, four different plans. I would call them business plans. And what I would say to you is that each of these that I'm looking at, and again, I'll use the term a business plan, has a particular agenda that you're wanting to achieve with it. And I feel like I have a stack of cards, playing cards in my hand, and I want to take all four of these and I want to shuffle them. Now, that sounds a little dramatic, but I want to shuffle them, and then I want to lay out these plans, and it's like I want to narrow it down to no more than two. So there is apparently a compatibility with these four separate areas of distinction that you have that can be folded or shuffled together, so there's just two. That's going to take a lot of pressure off you. You're also going to be able to deal with the duality factor that sometimes challenges you. But more than that, I think your stress level is going to go down. Diversification is something that actually comes quite easily for you. I think that's great. But it's so easy for you to diversify that sometimes you get scattered. You spread yourself too thinly. So it's as if this is a year, as I'm looking at the overall view for 2011, it's reorganization. Your focus is excellent once you determine what your target goal is, but it's the reorganization and application of how you want to utilize your time, your effort, and your energy so that you don't cut into the personal time, the creative time for yourself. You're going through a transformation right now. This transformation is a little painful because certain modalities of thought and habit that have worked very well for you in the past, you're beginning to have to release. So as I watch this, I think this is extremely important for you to be able to understand that you need to have this discomfort, if you will, so that you can let go of what no longer needs to be in your space and accept and adapt into that is going to be more fluid for you. And technology is going to work for you, not against you, once you figure out how to streamline, and again, I'll say do the shuffle, once you do that, then you're going to find yourself, I would say, by the 2nd of June, feeling like you have really got a very good platform to move forward with. And this, I think, is excellent. This is very, very good. It is very positive. And you're going to feel economically, yeah, like you have been able to bring in an economic flow that at this moment you would not have the time to develop because you've got the four agendas. And so when you fold things together so you bring it to a condensation and an organization where you just have two agendas that you follow with, that's when you've got it made. That is really when you're going to feel like this year is flowing the way that it should. I'm a little bit concerned about you physically, though. I think that you need to be attentive to really listening to what your body tells you about certain foods that you're eating. And I don't think you're that undisciplined with food, but it's as if your body chemistry is changing. So you just want to be listening to the body. The body will tell you what it's comfortable with and what it's not comfortable with. And interestingly enough, it has to do with certain carbohydrates and fat combinations. It's quite interesting. Let me give you a silly example. Let's say you absolutely loved fried chicken. Oh, man, it was just one of your favorite foods on the planet. And you go to a particular restaurant and you have it and it just makes you sick to your stomach. But maybe you fix it at home and you fix it in coconut oil or a certain kind of fat and you just don't have any problems at all. You go, that's really weird. Why is it that it doesn't sit well? The reason is it's the way it's prepared and it's the fat that it's cooked in. So your body is changing. Your body is changing. Respect it, honor it, and I don't think you'll have major problems. Do you have a question for me?
Actually, I know. Just sitting here thinking to myself, wow, I don't have to ask her anything, do I? I really appreciate you. You hit a lot of things on the head because I am kind of juggling four different directions, literally four different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow. Okay.
You're going to do the shuffle. And once you, just imagine it like a deck of cards. And just say, how do I bring it together? And again, you're going to let go of certain things, and that's good. That's not a problem.
Okay. Now the as far as you asking me about a letting go of the past, I did get, after 3 years, I got an email and phone calls from my ex-wife telling me how wonderful I am and how great of a person I am and how she was asking for my forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that I'm ready. Well, I mean, I know I have to forgive. I'm a Christian. But this is not a good time.
Well, I think instead of getting stuck in what she's trying to do, what you need to do is say to her, and this is just a suggestion on my part, I'm very grateful that you're in touch with me, but I don't think it's about me forgiving you. I think you need to be at peace with yourself. There is something that she is going through relative to understanding her personal responsibility in life. And if ever you've had dealings with anyone, let's say that's going through alcoholic or drug rehab or anything like that, they usually are required to go back to the people that they have injured and say, I am sorry. Now, if she is saying she is sorry, that's good. Say, thank you, I appreciate it. But you don't need to hang on to what she's brought back in. That's experience. That you can just put it into your mental garbage disposal and move on. You don't need to forget what has been done. But the aspect of understanding that was part of your learning curve as well as a human being, just bless it and move on.
Right. Okay. Well, Ms. Sebu, I really appreciate you, and I enjoyed your show. I took down everything regarding Mr. Weissman.
Oh, he's great.
Give him a call as well.
Oh, yes, he is just absolutely wonderful. And thank you so much. It was a delight having you, and I'm glad you have enjoyed the show.
All right, have a great day.
You too, sir. This is Donna Seaball, and I know we're going to be going on a break in just a little bit. And if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call in to. One of the wonderful, oh, by the way, let me, before I get off on the break, my newsletter is going to be going out shortly. I have been experimenting with a different type of a layout and format, and what I've been experimenting with, I do not like at all. So I'm going to be going back to a format that I'm familiar with, but it will be going out today, and there's all kinds of good stuff in it. And I would just say to you, if you have any suggestions or any comments about the newsletter, then I would appreciate your forwarding them to me. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you'd like to hear about. There's always, I've been doing this newsletter for years, and I'm always just delighted to hear from those of you that read it. If you would like to get the email, it is free. The email newsletter comes out once a month. I put my schedule on, my agenda, to the best of my ability of knowing about it. So anyway, just send me an email to Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and then I will be sure that you're put on the mailing list. Meanwhile, we're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm going to be talking to you about a guy that decided he was going to stay in a bubble. I don't know that you'd want to do what he did, but when we come back, I'll tell you more about it.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Seaball. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Let me give you the phone number if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, 888-815-9756. Well, I mentioned to you before we went on break that there is a guy that was in a bubble. And when I came across this information, the guy's name is Blaine, David Blaine. He's an illusionist, a magician. I am absolutely in awe of what these people are able to do, because it takes tremendous physical stamina to do a lot of these performances. And whenever I see the old movies about Houdini and the grandfathers that are so highly respected by magicians of today for what they accomplished, the rigors are just as intense today, and I think in some respects even more so. But this is about what David did, and I am absolutely amazed at this. And I've got this photograph in front of me. He's inside of this huge gold bubble. And he had spent 61 hours inside of a block of ice. That would really be something that would make my day. He balanced on top of a 90-foot pillar for 35 hours. He fasted for 44 days in a plastic box. And this bubble feat, Man in a Bubble it was called, it was done in May 2006. He was to spend 7 days in a gigantic water-filled bubble and hold his breath underwater for 9 minutes. He was handcuffed to 150 pounds of metal chains. Now, he had to prepare for this. This is something that took a lot of training. He went into training with U.S. Navy SEALs. That'd get you fit pretty fast. He ended up shedding, I guess is a better word, 50 pounds in body weight over the time he was working with him to improve the efficiency of his use of oxygen. And the week before he performed this stunt in the glass bubble, he practiced holding his breath and refrained from eating any solid food so that he wouldn't need the bathroom while he was inside the 8-foot, it wasn't a glass sphere, I was wrong. It's an acrylic sphere that they developed. Now, this was done at the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts in New York City. And what he wore for this event was trousers, rubber shoes, and he had a special diving mask. Now, there were tubes that fed him oxygen and liquid nutrition so he wouldn't die while he was inside this bubble. And the water inside this, as they described it, human aquarium was maintained at about 97 degrees. And he would try to sleep whenever it was possible because he did this week-long performance in front of all kinds of people. However, the last challenge really was beyond him. 2 minutes short of his 9-minute goal of holding his breath, after appearing to have released his hands successfully, there was a struggle for him to get his feet free from the chains. Divers were sent in to pull him from the water. He was very, very weak. He was really, really affected by the experience. He could have drowned. From being in the water all of that time, his skin had been peeling, and he went straight. They took him immediately to the hospital where they wanted to make sure that he was going to survive having gone through this illusion. And they said, if you're in water for prolonged periods of time, there's a lot of hazards. Some of those hazards, nerve damage, blackouts. But he said what he felt when he was doing this was skin pain. He said, I felt like I was constantly being assaulted by pins and needles. Now, that's the nerve endings, the billions and billions of them that you have in your body. And for him to accomplish just what he did is just amazing. He said every minute that he was in his goldfish bowl, he said in many ways it was a horrific experience for him. He said every muscle in my body felt these sharp shooting pains like someone was stabbing me with a knife. Will he do it again? I don't think so. But he's in the record books. A phenomenal, phenomenal illusion. But, you know, when we were talking about the music business right in the first part of the show, anytime you are going to become accomplished in what you do, it takes discipline. It takes practice. It takes preparation. Have you ever noticed anyone, whether it's a seamstress that just has a knack of putting things together and that things just look wonderfully, or a person that bakes cakes? I love cooking shows. I love watching those people that are decorating cakes and they're doing all kinds of things. To me, they're just masters. They're just marvelous. these skills and other skills, whether it's in medicine, whether it is in working with automobiles, I don't care what the business is. It takes practice, and it takes getting through the mistakes. It takes living and experiencing what it is that you love to do until you just do it and you don't give it a second thought. It comes as second nature. So whether it's music, whether it's cooking, it doesn't make any difference. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's a wonderful day to be alive. I'm so glad you shared your time with me. Thank you so much. Tell your friends about the show. We'll look forward to being back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on VBSRadio.com. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.